longer with this just a discussion of Reb Chaim. So I think the last thing we discussed was the relationship between, I was suggesting that there are ways to isolate, to better get a handle on the contribution of Reb Chaim. And again, we got into this because we were suggesting that the Derech HaLimud is something which reflects also the Hashkafa of there being a kind of halachic reality, of halacha being not simply the way that we respond or react, but on the contrary, being like the foundation in which, the basis in which we initiate our Avodas Hashem, and which is the paradigm and like almost the, you know, Platonic ideal to be realized in this world. That idea on the Hashkafa side, which also explained how we could take the perspective that, you know, Olam Hazeh, that the real world, the concrete world, is something which is not a bidyeved and merely a traklin, but or prosdor rather, it's but something which is really subject to being transformed, and on the contrary is the ideal framework to realize the ideal halacha. So in the context of that, we're trying to explain that there are certain hallmarks or features of Reb Chaim's derech, and that if you wanted to get a better handle on that, so it would be helpful not only to contrast it with very different solutions to similar problems, but in some cases especially to very overlapping similar treatments of the same problems. And that would kind of highlight, would accentuate really what is singular about it. And we gave a couple examples of it last time. I think last time we were trying to take examples that were close to home. So we were talking about the kinu, the stira, and what I was suggesting then was that, you know, you would want to look in general across bigger topics. I'm going to mention a few things going forward that are like, you know, good case studies for anybody who's interested. And especially, you know, the immediate, you know, predecessors, contemporaries, and, successors, where you particularly, I think, can highlight these changes. So we're talking about the Beis HaLevi, and last time we were talking about the piece on Kinyu Yestira, how the Beis HaLevi's Chidushim on Kinyu Yestira, how they stack up to Reb Chaim's perspective on Kinyu Yestira. So I think I mentioned last time, in addition to the piece in Hilchos Yibum, there's also the piece in Hilchos Sota, Paragim HaLacha Chaf Gimel, where Reb Chaim discusses the Rambam Shita about the role of Eid Echad in Sota after Hashkos Sota. And again, the idea that had it been that Kinyu Yestira simply establish a context and a likelihood, you know, that certain things happen, and that would allow for, you know, Znus, let's say, to operate according to a different threshold, but basically it would be Eidus ala Znus. Had that been the case, then we would have to treat Kinyu Yestira as something which is more contextual, and that would be the limit of it. But it wouldn't explain the idea of being Mabatel or Oker, Kinyu Yestira Lamafreya, and other such things which we found in Hilchos Yibum. So similarly, in Hilchos Sota, there, I say, we're talking about the problem of Eid Echad. So the question is, if Eid Echad really is Neman in the context of Sota, so why wouldn't that be at least partially true even after Hashkos Sota? So Reb Chaim, without even referring to what he wrote in Hilchos Yibum, this is one of the examples where, again, seeing the patterns across different topics becomes very important. Basically explains that Eid Echad B'Sota is not Eid Echad given the context of Kinyu Yestira, which is Eidus ala Znus. If that were the case, then in Achanam, even after Hashkos Sota, it might very well make sense to continue with that line of thinking. But rather, the din is Ein Dover Sheverva Pachos Mishnayim. If you really are operating in terms of Eidus ala Znus, you would require Shnayim Eidim to begin with. Eid Echad would be completely inadequate. The fact that Eid Echad is effective is just because It's a din in the mechayiv of kinyan stira, which again he doesn't refer to as peace in Elasivam, but if you accept that whole perspective, is really a different track, you know, for being oser isha labala. And then the point is that once you have hashkas sota, so that too neutralizes the kinyan stira. You no longer have the context, the mechayiv of kinyan stira, even though again the raglayim ladavar of kinyan stira hasn't gone anywhere, the practical aspect of it. But if this is a mechayiv and it's a process and it's a din b'fnei atzmo, so if you think that the hashkas sota terminates that, then basically you have an eid echad, you know, where you need davar sheberva, and the consequence is that you don't have that kind of impact. So this is a good example where even, you know, cross pieces, once you have a certain mentality, right, it causes you to reinterpret, you know, the whole system. And then once you start reinterpreting this and that, you know, the koach hachidush for seeing other things in its light obviously follows as well. So then I think I mentioned another example of this, again, where you see different stages and a significant escalation in the context of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So again, each of these is a massive topic in its own right. I just want to make you know, the point, just to give two or three or four examples, just to highlight what I mean. So here again is another example where the Beis Halevi is responsible for a conceptual breakthrough, but Rab Chaim, I think, takes it a significant step beyond, and just doesn't, it's not just coincidental that he happens to take a step beyond. I think, again, given like a certain more formalistic perspective, right, he's able to carry it a significant step along. So again, just very, very quickly, this the Rosh Prakim. So the Gemara says in Gittin, on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara discusses the problem of Yesh or Ein Kinyan Akum Lahafkia Mikedushas Haaretz. Right, and that's what happens if you have non-Jewish ownership, right, of land in Eretz Yisrael, vis-a-vis the question of, you know, Kedushas Peiros. And as you know, Lemaisa Bizman Hazeh, right, this is a big issue on, you know, particularly Shnas HaShmita. So the Gemara basically says that there's a debate whether Yesh Rein Kinyan Lafkia Mikedushas Haaretz, and that we paskin that when it comes to regular Eretz Yisrael, Ein Kinyan Akum Lafkia Mikedushas Haaretz, that seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara in Gittin. However, in Surya, right, if you paskin that Kibush Yachid, Surya was Kibush Yachid, whatever that means, not for now, and if you hold that Kibush Yachid Lo Shmei Kibush, so then Yesh Kinyan Akum Lafkia Mikedushas Haaretz Be Surya, since Kibush Yachid Lo Shmei Kibush. Okay, those are the facts. So the if you look at Rashi Al Atar, Rashi says, yeah, because if you hold Kibush Yachid Lo Shmei Kibush, so then the Kedusha Sa'aretz, the Chi of Trumas of Isris and Bikurim, etc., in Eretz Yisrael, Besuria is Drabanan, and if it's Drabanan, then Yesh Kinanakom Lafkia. So mostly, the Gemara was understood based on Rashi, and you know, continuing from Rashi, probably before Rashi, that the equation is that Yesh Halacha Yesh Kinyan Akum Lafkia, right? Whenever there's a din drabanan, and when there's a din daraisa, Ein Kinyan Akum Lafkia. And that was the yisod of the Heter Mechira, right? You know, when Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael, you know, in a more populated way. So in the Yishuv days, so there was this controversy, as you know. Some of the farmers said that they couldn't get along, you know, if they were, you know, going to have to be Shomer Shvius properly. So the proposal was made to sell Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews during the Shemitah year to avoid the, at least some of the more onerous aspects of Kedushas Shvius, so that economically the Yishuv, then Yishuv, what today is Medinas Yisrael, you know, could, you know, can have a more viable economic circumstance. So the Beit HaLevi wrote this very long tshuva in Chelek Gimel, Siman Aleph, in response to, everybody weighed in on this Heter Mechira issue, all the big gedolim of the time, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, and then Netziv, everybody was writing about this, and the Beit HaLevi has a tshuva as well. So the Beit HaLevi came up with the following yesod. Beit HaLevi said, it's true that the Gemara says that Yesh Kinen Akum Lahafkia only applies Besuria if you hold Kibush Yachid Lo Shmei Kibush, but it's not simply because it's Drabana. It's because the Kedusha of Surya is a Kedusha that is only Drabana. In other words, the issue doesn't depend on whether or not the Chiv Trumas Maestro Shemitah, etc. is Drabanan. It depends on whether the Kedusha Sa'aretz, which triggers those dinim, is Doraisa or Drabanan. And the real idea is, Yesh Kinyan Akum Lahafkia Mikdusha Drabanan, but not Lahafkia Mikdusha Doraisa. So Lu Yitzuyar, could say, well, what's the difference? Lu Yitzuyar, you could have a Kedusha Sa'aretz, which is Doraisa, but which is producing, right, a Chiyuv, Trumus Maisrus, or Shmita, or whatever, which is Drabanan, then Kinyan Akum would not have the ability to affect it, because it's the Kedusha Daraisa that is invulnerable to Kinyan Akum, and Kedusha Drabanan, right, which can be affected by Kinyan Akum. So, for example, the Beis HaLevi said, Me'olam lo matzinu, no one ever said that Meiser Yerokos, Trumas Meisus on Yerokos, which is Drabanan, no one ever said that Yesh Kinyan Akum Lafkia, that if the, let's say, forget about Surya, let's say, in the time of Yahushua, when there was a Kedusha Sa'aretz Doraisa in Eretz Yisrael, or right in the beginning of the period of Ezra, right? We'll get that in a second. When there was Kedusha Sa'aretz Bishlei Musa, right? No one ever said that Maisa Yerek is subject to the din of Kinyan Akum Mafkia. Why? Because even though Maisa Yerek is Rabbanan, but it's triggered by Kedusha Sa'aretz Doraisa, and Kinyan Akum, Bailus Akum cannot affect, can't touch Kedusha's art. Very big chiddush, right? And a very important chiddush. So what does that have to do with Heter Mechira? So he explained as follows. He said, listen, everybody's equating, everybody's saying that everything depends on Drabanan. So then the question is Shemitah Bizman HaZeh Drabanan or not? Well, there are various reasons why Shemitah Bizman HaZeh might be Drabanan. Right? One is because you hold that Kedusha Shnia Kidsha L'Shaita V'lo Kidsha L'Yosid Lavo. The time of Ezra, the Kedusha was not permanent. So then, there's no Kedusha Sa'aretz at the time of the, let's say, the second, the destruction of the second bias. So after that, there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz Doraisa anymore. But there could be other reasons. For example, some people say, Bizman She'ena Yovel Noheg, so the... there's no kedusha there's no chiyuv trumas maisrus, or mostly people think it has to do with shmita. Maybe there's no shmita, right? Dine shmita daraisa. So if there's no yovel, there's no shmita. So the Beis HaLevi said, well, that has nothing to do with kedusha haaretz, right? Even if there is kedusha haaretz bimeloa, there's an extraneous factor, and that is that Yovel is a precondition for Shemitah, Kedusha Shemitah, Doraisa, or Dine Shemitah Doraisa. So the Beis HaLevi said, the din of Surya, Leman D'Amar, Kibush Achid, Lo Shmei Kibush, is not a good paradigm for the Ptur of Shemitah if it's based on Yovel. It's only a good paradigm if the Ptur is based on Kedusha Sa'aretz being Betela, because Kidsha L'Shaita below Kidsha La'asid Lava. So they said, and why indeed is, according to most Rishonim, right, Dine Shmita Bizmanenu Drabanan? They said, well, the Bali Tosis happened to be, some of them happened to be of the opinion, that Kedusha Shnia was Betela. But more poskim are of the opinion that the reason that it's Drabanan is because of Yovel, or possibly because of lack of bias kulchem, right? The Gemara says in Ksuvis Nafkapei that when it comes to challah, right, the Torah says kisavo, right, bias kulchem below bias miktzaschem. You have to have bias kulchem in order to be chayiv in chal. So the Beis Halevi said, as long as we're not saying that there's no kedusha sa'aretz daraisa, right? There is the fact that the dinei shmitar derabanan, right, do not make them particularly vulnerable to yeshkin and akob lahafkia, any more so than by sayerek, like we said before. And therefore, since most people think that the drabanon is not based on bitul kedusha shnia, the heter mechira is based on a very faulty premise. That was the Beis Halevi's argument. That's a very big chiddush. Okay. So the Rav used to point out that if you look at Rav Chaim's discussion on bias kolchem, so there might be a way to, you know, revisit and to justify the heter mechira, even if you accept the yesod of the Beis Halevi. Okay. And why is that? Because Reb Chaim has two pieces. Again, the details are important, but we're not going to have time to analyze them fully. But there's a piece in Hilchos Trumos, there's a piece in Hilchos Shemitah. Right? In both contexts, Reb Chaim was bothered by the following question. Why is it when it comes to Yovel, where there's a din of kol yoshveh aleha doesn't seem to be dependent upon a particular point in time. It's something that ebbs and flows. In other words, every yovel, you can figure out whether kol means rove, whatever it means, but whether kol yoshveh aleha or not. However, if you look at the discussion of the Gemara about bias kolchem, which is the requirement for challah, so the Gemara in Ksuvah Staf Chafei seems to say, or Chaim thought it says, the reason I say seems to say is because the Ritva in that Gemara learns differently. But the simple reading of the Gemara in Ksuvah Staf Chafei is that since at the time of Ezra there was not bias kolchem, only a minority of the Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael, so there's no bias kolchem, so therefore there's no chiyuv chala throughout the entire aftermath of that period in Eretz Yisrael. Even though Kedushas Ezra was Kidsha L'Shaito, and possibly even Kidsha L'Yasid Lavo, which is actually the Psak of the Rambam, Kedusha Shnia Kidsha L'Shaito V'Kidsha L'Yasid Lavo, nonetheless, Chala is Drabanan, because at the time of the initiation of that Kedusha, there was no Bias Kolchem, which is a requirement. So Reb Chaim asked, among other things, how come when it comes to Yovel, every Yovel we assess again whether there's Kol Yoshveh Aleha, and how come when it comes to Chala, right, and Bias Kolchem, it depends on the moment that that second Kedusha was initiated? Good question. So Reb Chaim came to the conclusion that Bias Kolchem, as opposed to Kol Yoshveh Aleha, is not just a requirement, a ma'akev, a t'nai for chala, but rather is a shiur in kedushas ha'aretz. And therefore, if something is just a t'nai for kiyum yovlos, like kol yoshveh aleha, so it can ebb and flow, it can be there and be gone and be back again, and each time you can assess it anew, because there's no special yichus to any particular yovel. Every yovel, we just have to figure out if we have this condition. But if you're talking about kedushas haaretz, kedushas haaretz depends on the hatcholas ha-kedusha. And therefore, bias kolchem depends on the beginning of the Ezra period. That's Reb Chaim's explanation. He could have added to this piece, but didn't, that this would also work out well according to the Rambam, because the Gemara only applies Bias Kolchem based on the Psukim to Chala, and the Rambam in the end of Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos, right, extends it also to Trumos, and then he says V'yirali, that also Maestros, right, he's not so sure about the Maestros, because Chala and Truma are very connected, they're both Trumos, but he says Yirali as well, and the Raivit on the spot says that, I think that's wrong. I don't think Trumos and Maestros depend on Bias Kolchem, that's a Din of Chala, etc. So this more expansive scope right? Something that is a din and chala that applies also to not only trumas but even maestros, right? Works well with the idea that it isn't a, you know, an external condition, but is a shear in kedushas haaretz. But the point I want to make is, well, first I'll tell you the Rav's point. The Rav's point was that if that's true, so then you have to figure out why Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanan. So Rav Chaim's argument was that Shemitah is also subject to Bias Kolka. Again, the Rambam says it by Trumos. The Rambam says yearly by Maestros. He doesn't say anything by Shemitah. Rav Chaim was Mechadesh based on the Psukim. Right? If you look at the Psukim in Parshas Bahar, you also have a language of Bias Haaretz. It's an, oh, Bias Kolchem. Again, applies, and I should add that Beis Halevi quotes Reb Chaim differently. He quotes his son Reb Chaim in that piece. A little bit of a different thing. I think that's also a great example of the different stages, but we'll leave that for now. But Reb Chaim in the Chibur says that, in my opinion, Bias Kolchem applies to Shemitah as well. And there's a chisaron in the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael with respect to Shemitah. So the Rav used to add and say, well, in light of Reb Chaim, ironically, the Beis HaLevi's adamant opposition to the Heter Mechira might be neutralized, because the paradigms in the Beis HaLevi were, if you hold Kedusha Shniyah, Kitchel Shaitav, low Kitchel Yasid Lavo, right? That means there's no Kedusha Saaretz, and it's like Surya and Yesh Kininakum Lafkia. Or if it's Midin Yovel, lack of Yovel, or Bias Kolchem, in which case, right, it would be more of an extraneous idea, and the extraneous idea doesn't help you with Yesh Kinyanakum Lahafkiya. But if Reb Chaim really thinks that Bias Kolchem itself is a din in Kedusha Saaretz, then we should compare it more to Betela Kedusha Shniyah rather than to the extraneous Ptur Yovel. So then you're back in a situation where you can compare to Surya and Kibush Yachin. Personally, I don't think it's so simple, because if you look at the language of the Rambam himself, the Rambam himself doesn't seem to apply. Rambam is speaking about Kedusha Shniya, and the Rambam seems to think that Ein Kinyan Akum Mafkiya. That's number one. Number two, except in Surya, if you look at Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos. Number two, and this is a point that I've made many times, it's just very fascinating if you read the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav, and in the beginning of Hilchos Trumos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph through Hay or so, when the Rambam describes, you know, his scheme of, you know, Kedushas Aretz in time of Yoshua, and then later in time of Ezra, etc. So the impression you get when you walk away is that there is Kedushas Aretz Daraisa Bizmanenu. As Rambam says, we paskin Kedusha Shniyah Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asid Lava. It's only in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Trumos, Halacha Chaf Hey and Chav Vav, the last two halachos in that very long perek, some 20 or so halachos removed from the last time he spoke about Kedusha Shniyah being Kitchel Yasid Lavo, that the Rambam finally drops the other shoe and says, oh, by the way, Trumas HaMaisers Bizman HaZez Drabanan Kazo Bias Kolchem. Thank you very much. That's a remarkable thing. In other words, if you read Hilchos Beis HaBechira and you walked away, you'd think that there's Kedusha Saaretz, Shleima, Umaleya. And if you read Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos, you just didn't get up to Halacha Chaf Hey. Let's say even if you got up to Halacha Chaf Dalet, right, which is pretty far. So you would just walk away and think that there's Kedusha Saaretz, and that there's Chiv Trumos HaMaisros, and Chala Bizman Hazeh. So factually that's wrong, but my point is, isn't it strange that he should leave you the impression that there's Kedusha Saaretz, you know, and only quote this so much later? Anyways, in my opinion, you know, even if you want to integrate Reb Chaim's analysis, you have to ask another question, and that is, there's still a yearly in the Rambam about Maestros, right? And Bias Kolchem, according to Reb Chaim, does apply to Shemitah, but in the Rambam it doesn't sound so much like that. It sounds like there are some other issues about Shemitah being Drabanan and other Rambams in Hilchos Shemitah, but not for now. The Minchas Chinuch, of course, raises the question, and what about Bikurim, and what about Peah, and what about Leket and Shikcha, right? What about other Dinei Eretz Yisrael? Do they have the Petura Bias Kolchem, at least according to the Rambam, or not? So typically, in the Minchas Chinuch, everybody's playing their proper role here, says, well, no, I mean, it's an extraneous thing. It's a special din in has nothing to do with Kedushas Haaretz. It's an extraneous p'tur. And, you know, the Gemara says it by Chala. The Rambam wants to push it maybe as far as Trumos, maybe Bikurim, because it's also Truma, but certainly not Matnas Aniyim, not Pe'alekat Shikcha, for sure. This wouldn't make any sense. Oh. So I think the point is that even if you accept Reb Chaim, you might want to ask the question whether or not Reb Chaim means it's a problem, a flaw, a pagam in Kedushas Haaretz, or he means that there's no Kedushas Haaretz. Right? And then to raise the question, well, the Eish Kinen Akum Lahavkia, and the, again, a paradigm of Surya, according to the Mandamar, Kibush Yachad Lo Shmei Kibush, means that there's a Pagam in the Kedusha, or it means that there's no Kedusha. That's A. B, is it possible that Eretz Yisrael's status in terms of Kedusha Sa'aretz, I think you have to say this for Reb Chaim too, certainly for the Yirali, because he's saying it for the Rambam, that is different vis-a-vis different dinim of Kedushas Haaretz. Is it possible to say, oh, it has Kedushas Haaretz, Linyan, Truma, right, and Chala, but it's not Koveya, Legabe, Leket, Shikha, Upeya? Or do you have to disagree with the Minchas Kiyuch? Okay. But the point I want to make, just moving back for a moment, is that I think this is a typical contribution and escalation of Reb Chaim. I mean, the Beis Halevi came up with a very interesting Yesod, right, a breakthrough Yesod. That is that this category doesn't depend on Drabbanan Daraisa, it depends on Kedushas Haaretz Daraisa. Because really, Kinyan Akum is competing with that. That's the whole point. It's not the end result that we care about, right? It's what impact does Bailus Shel Akum have? The answer is Bailus Shel Akum, right, can't affect Kedushas Haaretz Daraisa. It can only affect Kedushas Haaretz Drabbanan. That's the point. So then Reb Chaim, you know, took it a considerable step beyond that by wondering whether or not factors that aren't obviously connected to Kedushas Haaretz, based on the way reconstructing that they operate, may not also be factors in Kedushas Haaretz. So to say that the Man Amar who says Kedusha Shnia Betela, to say, oh, for him, there's no Kedushas Haaretz. That's easy. Right. To say that, you know, a lack of Yovel sounds like it's an extraneous point, you know, seems also obvious. But until Reb Chaim came along and was looking at this problem in terms of the discrepancy between Yovel, Kol Yoshvei Aleha, and Bias Kulchem, right, the idea that Bias Kulchem wouldn't be extraneous, like the Minchas Chinuch and Beis Halevi assumed it was, but that it too might be a factor in Kedushas Haaretz, right, was not considered. I can't say historically that no one ever considered it before. I don't know that that's the case. It might be implicit. I think it is implicit in the Rambam's extension and the Yirali. But the point is in terms of articulating it. Because it seems on the surface that, you know, Klal Yisrael's relationship to Eretz Yisrael, right, is a separate factor. Why would that have to do with Kedushas Haaretz? But upon further analysis, but Reb Chaim, I think, came to it through reconstruction. There are discrepancies between Kol Yoshvei Alau and Yovel and Bias Kulchem in Chala, right? And you need to explain those discrepancies. If those discrepancies lead you to an initially counterintuitive conclusion, right, but they force you to examine, you know, your premise, you know, then so be it. That's good halachic analysis. So then there seems to be other evidence, including the Rambam's expansion, right, that this isn't just a technical p'tur. Now again, Reb Chaim didn't do this, but I'm doing it, and that is, right, the hashgafic implications of this are enormous, because basically what we're saying, according to Reb Chaim, right, is that Klal Yisrael's relationship to Eretz Yisrael, right, is a critical aspect of the Kedusha of the Karka, as well. If they take advantage, if they see this as their homeland, if when, you know, Kedusha is about to be initiated, right, they're part of that, they're enthusiastic about that. I don't mean that they, you know, give to the UJA, meaning that they actually, you know, come and participate, right, just like, and this of course works really well, because what was it that was Mekadesh, right, Kedusha Shnia, and especially for the Rambam, right? Not kibush, but chazaka, and chazaka is all about the way that Klal Yisrael relates to the karka. So that's a very beautiful idea. So at the initiation, there was a potential now for a second Kedushas Haaretz. And there was a second Kedushas Haaretz. But the not just as a condition on particular chiyuvim here or there, but in terms of the quality of that Kedushas Karka itself, so the not only is Chazaka going to be Mekadesh, but the way that total Klal Yisrael relates to the Chazaka, relates to the Kedusha, is going to impact or imprint on the intensity and the level of the Kedusha. Again, Reb Chaim isn't bringing this part of it. I am, based on what he's saying. But I think it works very well, especially, as I say, with a Kedusha, which is based on Chazaka. Again, I think it also works nicely with the idea that the Rav used to speak about, which is to answer the Kesef Mishnah's question, like why, according to the Rambam, is the Chazaka of the second Kedushas Eretz Yisrael apparently more effective than the Kibush of the first? Right, because the first one was batel according to the Rambam at the Korban, and the second one was not. There are all sorts of answers are given. But if I think it's stronger given Reb Chaim's perspective about Bias Kulchem being a din in Kedushas Haaretz, namely that the impact of Klal Yisrael is stronger, that the Chazaka is the persistence of Chazaka, the Rav used to say this part of it, the persistence of Chazaka, is more enduring than the charisma of the Kibush. The Kibush can be neutralized and terminated, by defeat. And, Chazaka remains. Chazaka is the hard work and the relationship with the car. I'm just adding, in light of Reb Chaim and the Bias Kolchem, this is even more so. I would just add also, again, Reb Chaim doesn't relate to this part of it, but what I was suggesting was that even post-Reb Chaim, whether or not it's really a justification for Heter Mechira, also depends on this part, on the scope part, and these other issues of Yesh Kinin Akum. That, in the end of the day, it's still not comparable to Surya if you hold Kibush Yachid Lo Shmei Kibush, because that means there's no Kedushas Karka. Here we're not saying that L'inyan Chala, we're not necessarily saying that L'inyan Chala, this is my addition, L'inyan Chala or Maestros, that there's no Kedushas Haaretz, we're saying that there's not enough Kedushas Haaretz. But there is Kedushas Haaretz, and that's why it's still not so clear that Kinyan Akum would be enough. Moreover, this is the way I'm trying to explain. The Rambam Dafka delayed it because he wanted you to know that even Linyan Trumas and Maestros and Chala, there's still Kedushas Haaretz because Kedusha Shniya Kitchel Lashaitim Vikitchosari LaAsid Lavo. Right? That wasn't neutralized or never got off the ground or was only a potential because of Bias Kulchem, even with respect to Trumos and Maestros, never mind Chala, because Rambam is speaking about Trumas and Maestros, both in Beis HaBechira and in Parak Alephikos Truma. So by delaying 25 odd halachos, right, the Rambam's way of saying, while this might affect Kedusha, right, it's not, there's value, from Hilchos Bechira, or even from the beginning of Parak Aleph Hilchos Trumos, till you get to the end, for you to be thinking and for it to be imprinted in your mind that there's Kedusha's Karka in Eretz Yisrael Bezman Hazeh, because that's really still true. Even if it doesn't express itself in Chala Trumos and Maestros, it's still true. Right? And maybe it does express itself in Ein Kinyan Akum Mafkia, and maybe in other issues as well. But what I'm saying is that the reconstruction and the nuance, the subtlety of saying, Kedushas Karka isn't just about whether the Mekadesh was done or not, or whether it was terminated or not. It's about other factors that seem to be extraneous, right, upon further glance, upon further reflection, and based on evidence, especially contrasting with, and that's why Yovel is a good foil, right? It may be that these two are dinim in absolute Kedushas Karka or an aspect of Kedushas Karka. And that is, I think, a typical perspective that Reb Chaim brings to the process. Again, in light of that, again, the Minchas Chinuch, who's just so certain about it, the Beis HaLevi, even with the breakthrough, would just represent a slightly different perspective. What I was going to add, if I had more time, there's much more to say about this one, is I was just going to do what I alluded to. I'll just for 1 minute. Oh, I think I did it for 1 minute last time, so I'm not sure if there's any value to it. And that is speak about the Chametz Umatza, a couple of issues, although I think I mentioned last time, that Reb Chaim has this very famous piece in the beginning of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, about why it is that the Rambam seems to ignore the Ptur Malkus of the Gemara for Bal Yirad, which is based on Lav Anitak Lase. Instead, he has this thing that it's a Lav Sheim B'maisa, and that's why if you're Kona Chametz or Osa Chametz in Pesach, you're in fact going to be Loke. So Reb Chaim has this famous discussion about both Lav Anitak Lase and the other question, the din of Nasis Mitzvaso, in which he discusses the nature of Tashbisu. And equally famous, more famous, certainly time-wise, is the Minchas Chinuch's discussion, right, of whether or not Tashbisu is what he calls a Kumvase or an Isarase. And I think a lot of Achronim conflate the two, and there's good reason to conflate the two. Some of the issues certainly do overlap. But again, this is the Milchas Chinuch's question. What is the nature of Tashbisu? Tashbisu is you have to go out and have chametz and destroy it, right? Or Tashbisu is to make sure that you don't have chametz in your rishus when the clock ticks, you know, and Zman Isuro arrives. Let's say Chatzos on Achilek Day, right? Erev Pesach. Or Erev Yom Erev Chagamatzos, you want to say. These questions seem very, very parallel. They do overlap. The Minchas Chinuch actually does answer the Rambam's question in this exact way. He says, in his opinion, the Rambam holds that that Tashbisu, right, is a Shebal Tase, to make sure that when the clock ticks, that there is no longer any chametz in your rishos. Whereas, he says, you know, the Balei Tosis seem to think that it's a Kumvase, and whether you hold it, it's Sheval Tasa or Kumvase, the Minchas Chinuch says there are many nafkamina. I'll mention a couple of them in a second. And maybe one of the nafkamina is whether or not you would call it a Lava Nitak Lase or not. Lava Nitak Lase is when the Ase is B'Kumvase. Lava Nitak Lase doesn't apply when the Ase is B'Sheval Tasa. The Rambam holds it's a Sheval Tase, Lishi Taso. The Balei Tosis, who think it is Lavanita Klase, think that it's Bekum Vaase. Now that part of the answer, that answer to the Rambam's question, is the Minchas Chinuch's answer. So that's half of the piece of Reb Chaim right there. Right. So is half of the piece just superfluous? Chas v'shalom. Okay. So if you analyze Reb Chaim, of course, the overlap, the bigger issue, the direction of the issue is very similar, very parallel. However, in a sense, Reb Chaim brought right to this discussion a nofech mishalo, one which is typical of him, and which is additional because of it. Because Reb Chaim wasn't really addressing the question, although there's an overlap of the questions, whether Tashbisu was Kuvase or Israse. That's the discussion, indeed, of the Minchas Chinuch. That's why the Minchas Chinuch emphasizes so much things like, oh, do you have to go out and buy, if you don't have chametz in your home, do you have to go out and buy some, right, in order to get rid of it? Right, that's a big issue for the Minchas Chinuch. Or, can you do the mitzvah of Tashbisu kodem zmano? Or dafka bizmano and la'achar zmano? Right, so the Minchas Chinuch argued, if it's a sheval taseh, but that's a little misleading the way he said it too, right? It's not, you never do it lifnei zmano, but what you do lifnei zmano dictates that when the zman rolls around, right, that at this point it's chametz rein, there's no chametz in your rishus, and that is the sheval tasa kiyum right then and there, as opposed to if you need kumbase, you can't do it before it's time, right? You can only do it at or after it's time. That's why he felt that the Rambam and Balei Tosis were lishitasam, because of their shita about lifnei and la'achar zmano. The Rambam holds lifnei zmano, the Balei Tosis hold bizmano and la'achar zmano. Right. On the other hand, and he, well, just very quickly, if you eat chametz on Pesach, right, so the Minchas Chinuch said, whether that's called mitzvah baba aveira, and you don't even get the mitzvah of tashbi, of course it's an aveira, but is it, oh, do you get the mitzvah or is it mitzvah baba aveira? Or it's an aveira, but it's also a mitzvah. He says, that to me depends on whether it's a kumbase, mitzvah baba aveira, or it's a shev veltas. If somebody steals the opportunity, he grabs your chametz and he burns it for you, right? Can you charge him for being chotef a mitzvah or not? That depends on this issue. Are women obligated, right, in Tashbisa? Well, women are pturos from mitzvah seish, it's man grama, but maybe only the kumbase types. That he's not sure about. Maybe not the shebal tasa types. That'll be an afkamina. Interesting. He weighs the possibility that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in Chametz Ela B'Sreifa were koveya this issue. He could have had a perfect, you know, tliya with the Rambam and Bali Tosis again, but he shies away from it. I think that's also interesting. You know, he's more focused on, you know, one or the other being a method of kumbase or shebal tase. But if you look at Reb Chaim, while a lot of these issues are overlapping, that's not really Reb Chaim's issue. Reb Chaim's issue is whether or not Tashbisu is a Chovas HaGavra, an Akiyum Mitzvah HaGavra, or there's also something that happens, and the focus should be the transformation that takes place, or the Kiyum that takes place in the Chametz. Now that's a different issue, very much overlapping and paralleling, and as I say, there'll be, in some cases, parallel nafkamina, but not in all cases. It's a much more specialized and subtle question. The question here is not whether or not, for example, Reb Chaim, you know, again, I don't want to speak for him. You have to go out and buy chametz in order to get rid of it. I suspect either way, the answer is no. But the point is, when you have chametz, right, and you are getting rid of it, so what you're doing is a mitzvah sagavra, or what you do is something takes place. The tashbisu is something which is transformative, and it's an act that takes place within, or the way that you're relating to the chametz. It's an extraneous, an external kind of an act, or it's an internal, you know, chametz act. And for the Rambam, number one, that depends, according to Reb Chaim and Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa is basically not a Chovas HaGavra. Chovas HaGavra means you want to get rid of it. Right? For him, it's not, it doesn't matter, probably, I'm guessing. You know, once you say it's a Chovas HaGavra, whether it's Kumbase or Sheval Tasa is secondary. Right? And the method that you use is mostly irrelevant. If the Torah said you have to do something very specific, only this way, and not only that, but this way is a way which, you know, destroys the chefza, not just gets rid of it, you know, in terms of hashbasa sagavra, that's its kobeya. So the tliya to Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, A. More importantly, the connection to Natsis Mitzvaso. Because the idea of Natsis Mitzvaso isn't just that you did something b'kumbase, it's that you've transformed the object. There's a kiyum in the object. The object, right, inhering in the object itself is this mitzvah. That's what nasas mitzvaso, most precisely, right, in an extreme. You don't have to say nasas mitzvaso. So it's a very appealing way to explain why there's nasas mitzvaso if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, right, Eber Chametz al B'Sreifa. And if it's min ha-nikbarim or shvisasa b'chol davar, even though it's a mitzvah, but it's a chovas hagavra, it's a mitzvah hagavra, there's no nasas mitzvaso. And for Reb Chaim, nita klase doesn't depend on kumbase sheval tase. It also depends on, again, whether there's been a kiyum in the chefza itself. So what I'm trying to say is, in typically, you know, people just conflate Reb Chaim with the Milchas Chinuch. And again, I'm not criticizing, because there is, for sure, a lot of overlap. The similarity and the overlap, once again, highlight how Reb Chaim, again, this very idea of a kiyum in the chefza of the chametz is a very, right, intrinsic, you know, halachic reality, you know, kind of a concept. What does it mean that the chametz is, you've done something that adheres in the Easter, you've transformed it in some legal formal way. That's a kind of, you've created a chalos in the chametz itself, a halachic reality in the chametz itself. So once again, what I'm trying to highlight is that where you have the overlap, then you can really particularly appreciate the nofech mishalo and the extension of it. Okay, we'll stop here.